The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, that's nice.
With guest host Ben Lyons.
Flow like water, but I'm cold as ice.
Where do you want to see Kevin Durant play basketball next year?
I want to see him play in the West.
Okay, you guys clown me for coming to Golden State.
Right.
Now I'm going to go somewhere else in the West. I'm going to beat Golden State.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network anchor Steve Weissman. Coming up from the No Laying Up podcast, Chris Solomon. New York Liberty guard, D.D. Richards. Plus, from Golf Digest, Haley Ledbetter. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons in for Rich. Thank you so much for watching, for listening, for being a part of this with us this week. It's a week I've been looking forward to for months.
Facts.
I got the bat signal back in February when I was trying to get the invite to host after Super Bowl, but they went with Ryan Leaf. And now I'm here in July, and I'm so excited. And it means a lot for you to be a part of this. So thank you very much for listening and watching. All right, we got a lot to get to. We got D.D. Richards in an hour, but we've been making our own top 10 list because it's that time of the year, especially in the football calendar, where we're in a little bit of a lull and all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, the season starts in 7 weeks or 8 weeks or something like that. We gotta talk some football. So we start putting together these lists to kind of get a lay of the land and see where everything's at. Yesterday we did quarterbacks. It was voted by the diehard passionate football fans who love this show on Twitter that I had the best list. So let's get to today's list. No, that's not what happened.
I think I was maybe the
You came in second. Winner. You came in second. The Mac
second
Jones list was third.
Mac Jones list
Mac
third.
Mac Jones on any top 10 quarterback God. List.
Triggered people on YouTube. Third.
Wow. Oh, did I really?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, should I go read the comments
don't
or
read
no?
Nah.
I'm going to respond to people
don't
today.
Read the, hey, don't
if
read
you, oh. If you tried to clown me on YouTube yesterday, I'm coming for you.
I got a bunch of TJ is the worst comments. I thought my list was pretty solid. TJ's the worst.
I had to put Mac Jones on. I mean, come on.
And what did I said I respect like, that. Of course you did.
If you people out there don't understand
Mac is in the top 10.
That I'm not that
you're
I'm
lying.
If you don't get that I'm doing the thing, then like
they don't get
I
it,
can't bro. Help you.
Doing
if
the
TJ
thing.
TJ put Dak first, I would have laughed. I mean,
like
Bradford's doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing. You know what I mean? I'm doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing.
All right, I'm going to do my thing right now with my list of top 10.
So top 10 running backs heading into 2022.
Like Busta Rhymes said, watch me get down, do my thing.
2020. Okay, let's put this list up. At number 10, it was actually a tie. It was Saquon Barkley and Spike from Little Giants. But we'll go with Saquon Barkley. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. Be healthy. He's a special talent. I want to see him have a good year. The New York Football Giants. Joe Mixon on the list, took his team to the Super Bowl last year. Aaron Jones, I'm not a huge fan of, but he does put up good numbers and he seems to get the job done for the Packers when they need him. I think Austin is a transcendent talent and going to have a huge year for the Bolts, the JV team of SoFi. Look, when you look at 3 through 6 on my list, these are guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield. These are guys who are dynamic playmakers. You could interchange all of them. And I think there's a real separation between 1 and 2 and 3 to 6. I think Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry are notches above everybody else in the NFL right now. And this is my top 10 running back list. So please break it down. Break it apart. Tell me why I'm a disgrace to my family and I am a downfall of American media.
Just a couple of guys on there that you'll see my list in a second, but I think you're totally right. The top two guys are clear head and shoulders above everyone else. And then I think after that, it's kind of personal preference. It's who you like. It's if you think the team that they're on is going to do well this year. It's the situation that they're in. Are they running back by committee? Do they have a talented quarterback? next to them? Do they have a quarterback you can rely on? What is the coaching staff, the offensive scheme, etc.?
If Baker answered the question honestly, who do you think he'd rather have as his running mate, Nick Chubb or Christian McCaffrey?
Oh, wow. I think he would say, I have no idea.
That's what I think he would
say. Wow, that's a really tough question.
That's the situation he's in right now.
I think that's great. It's a win-win for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. All right, let's look at my list.
You know, funny, we both had Saquon Barkley number 10.
Yeah,
I think I think the Giants are kind of play better than people are expecting, and I think that he bounces back. Look, we've talked a lot about Denver and Russell Wilson and the offense there. Javonte Williams is a superstar, okay? He's going to be awesome this season, so I have him at number 9. McCaffrey, it just comes down to availability, TJ. Like, I can't trust him to stay healthy for a full season, but when he's out there, he's clearly the best player on the field, so I have him 8. Aaron Jones is just going to get a lot of looks now with that Green Bay offense that's probably going to have to rely on him a little bit more. Dalvin Cook is supremely talented. I just don't love Minnesota as a team. Najee Harris is going to get the ball a lot. And when I mean a lot, he's going to get the ball a lot this year. Like 400 touches probably for Najee Harris. He might lead the NFL in touchdowns. We just don't know who his quarterback is, but he's a really good player. Joe Mixon is awesome with Cincinnati. They're going to have a great season again. And I love the Chargers to make a leap this season. Justin Herbert might very well be MVP, and Austin Eckler's probably going to have 12 to 15 touchdowns. And then Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor, take your pick. I love JT.
Strong list. This isn't for fantasy reasons either. This is just who's the best at football.
Absolutely.
Not fantasy football, real football. Now, ladies and gentlemen, from Altoona, Pennsylvania, TJ Jefferson.
Holler if you hear me. Let's pop that list up and get this. Before we pop that, I was going to preface this, but he put it up. I'm just going to say this. I led off with Ezekiel Elliott, and I know what the mouth breathers online.
There you go.
And I didn't want to count you as a mouth breather, but you chimed in first. So I'm going to say,
is this your Mac Jones pick?
But it's not. It's not. Allow me. Just let me.
You love crop tops. We get it.
I mean, I'll stop speaking until you guys are done interrupting.
Shut up. Let me answer.
Are we done? Okay. Here's what I'm saying about Ezekiel Elliott at number 10. First and foremost, Ben Lyons, what have you been preaching about all week since you've been here? What kind of ability is the best type of ability?
Availability.
Okay, so Ezekiel Elliott played in how many games last year? 17. How many games did the Cowboys have last year? 17. He was the number 7 rusher in the league in terms of yards, and he had 10 touchdowns. Like,
how many games did you play the season before?
Well, we're not talking about the season before. We're talking about coming into this season.
Okay.
So everyone wants to crap on Zeke and say that he's this, that, and the third, and he's down. But I'm going to tell you, for you people who are going to say that I'm crazy, look at the numbers. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. Ezekiel Elliott, yes, his production should go down a little bit, I'm hoping, because of Pollard. So I'm hoping that he takes away some of that load off of Zeke. So in the fourth quarter, later in the season, let that just human wrecking ball go to work. But you can't tell me that Ezekiel Elliott's not one of the top 10 running backs in the NFL. I mean, you could. You'd be wrong. But you could tell me anything you want. All right, well, let's go up to my next pick here. Coming at number 9, Najee Harris. I'm with you, Brockman. I feel like he's poised for a breakout
beast
here.
Yeah.
And he's going to get all the touches. He's going to get all the carries. And might score all the touchdowns. At 8, Christian McCaffrey. The reason I have him here is very simply, like you said, I don't know what I'm going to get out of Christian McCaffrey. If I knew I could count on him for 17 games, he'd be 1 or 2 on the list. But the fact of the matter is, the last 2 seasons, we haven't seen Christian McCaffrey. So I feel 8 is probably a good place to put him. Now, if he was healthy, yes, he'd be higher, but we don't know what we're getting. Coming at number 7, from 7 to 1, guys, if you just want to pick some of these out of a hat and argue them, I think they're pretty interchangeable. But Austin Eckler, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going to have a great season. Antonio Gibson, you guys know how I feel about the Washington football team, so you can understand how hard it is for me to put a player on my list, especially this high. But Gibson's, he's dope, guys. Joe Mixon, great season last year. I think that'll continue. Nick Chubb, the only reason I have him at 4, maybe not a little higher, is because Kareem Hunt is there. He's still a great running back. He's definitely going to take some carries, some of the yards away from Chubb, even though, you know, he had a great season. Then we got Mr. Dalvin Cook. Shout out to Jodeci. He's in there at 3. And coming at number 2, Derrick Henry. I know we talked about injuries and availability, and we know Derrick got hurt last year, but the fact of the matter is, the dude's rushing total still had him, I believe, in the top 10 for the majority of the year, and he missed, what, 8 games? I'm not sure about the games, but Derrick Henry's built different. No, people say they're built different. No, no, Derrick Henry is built different, and that's why I think he'll be able to come back after this injury. And Jonathan Taylor, friend of the show, just, he's a monster. He's a beast. I love this kid, and I think right now he's the most talented back in the National Football League. So that's
strong
my
list, CJ. Strong list. Antonio Gibson getting some love. You know, yesterday when we were breaking this down, we were like, are there even good, like 10 good running backs? How would you even?
There's
and
more than
this
10
exercise
guys.
Has proven that the state of the running back in the NFL is alive and well.
And I didn't have Nick Chubb on my list, and I feel the need to defend that really quickly because he is an awesome, talented player. I just think Cleveland is such a dysfunctional situation. With the quarterback, it looks like it's probably going to be Jacoby Brissett for a while. So, look, Nick Chubb is going to face a lot of 8-9-man boxes, and I just think that's going to be a tough situation.
Also, I don't believe any of us had Alvin Kamara on
I did. I had him on my list. Okay. You didn't on yours. Yeah.
I didn't have mine either.
I love Kamara. Look, there's only 10 spots, man. And we got to, like, you know, we got to, we're reaching here. We're trying to predict what we think. And, you know, that's all.
And also, again, another question mark at quarterback. We don't know what Jameis is going to look like coming back this year. And Alvin Kamara is facing a legal issue. So we don't know if he's going to miss the first part of the season. So that's, you know, remains to be seen.
I was upset that our tremendous staff here was not able to put in, Icebox from Little Giants, or Spike from Little Giants, one of the most dominating. Icebox by defense. Spike. Yeah, Spike. Spike was a dominating force for the Little Giants.
No, Nelly from Longest Yard.
Nelly, that's right. I think Nelly was having a little bit of a moment this year, a little bit coming back in the mix. No,
was
like
he?
Nelly was just kind of like he was at the NBA Finals, sitting courtside.
Oh,
and
yeah,
saw
that's
that
right.
St. Louis
right.
thing, Jason Tatum,
for
right?
Sure.
Yeah, Nelly back in the mix. Not having that Ja Rule renaissance.
Ooh, Ja, baby.
It was so great. Oh, my God, you guys. I got the chance to go to a Knicks preseason game, which is so much fun.
Did they let you play in it?
Knicks preseason game. Good friend Richard Schiff played the West Wing card and got us the celebrity seats, which I never get to do. And we sat next to Ja Rule, who I used to intern for. It's amazing, right? So introducing Richard Schiff to Ja Rule.
There's
was
no way
like
he remembered. No way he remembered it.
No, of course he doesn't remember me. No, it's like, remember the summer that you did the song with J-Lo? I like handed out CDs in the street.
I'm
you know?
Here to keep it hopping.
And it was just so great because at halftime, they take you back to the little room with the snacks and I use the bathroom and I hear knock, knock, knock on the door. I'm like, oh, I'm in here. 1 second. I hear knock, knock, knock. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Ja, baby.
I gotta go, baby. I open the door and I'm like, you're waiting on your intern right now. Which was just a great life moment for me.
It's murder.
Put that out there. All right, cool. We got Chris Solomon, no laying up, checking in next. Little golf talk here on a Wednesday. Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Del Tufo.
This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? Come on, get it together. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. Let me tell you why. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system that gives you the full picture of your business. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need, and it's all in one place. You can automate your manual process and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after they upgraded to NetSuite. Over 31,000 businesses already use NetSuite. This summer, NetSuite has a special financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richradio. Let me say that again because I stumbled. netsuite.com/richradio. Head to netsuite.com/richradio for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richradio. Ben Lyons in for Rich. Chris Solomon next. The Rich Eisen Show.
Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Welcome back to the show. We've got Dee Dee Richards from the New York Liberty in about 40 minutes. Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. As always, you can be a part of the show at Rich Eisen Show. My social handles at I am Ben Lyons. You can hit us up 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424. We were chatting during the break about if we had Fast and Furious residuals, what would we buy with our money? Because Tyrese bought a hibachi. He bought a Benihana in his backyard. He has a full functioning Starbucks with employees in his backyard.
Crazy.
And
a dry cleaner. Yeah.
And a dry cleaner.
Yeah, and a dry cleaner. Yes, and a dry cleaner as well. How about you, TJ? If you had those Fast and Furious residuals, you buying a Benihana?
I mean, I definitely have like a Howlin' Rays fryer. Like these guys know for sure. I'd be getting some Howlin' Rays Nashville fried chicken. That's mandatory. Benihana is nice. You know me, I like to get my Benihana to go.
I know. It's so insane. It's absolutely insane.
It wouldn't make sense to have one in the crib.
It's sacrilegious. It's really one of the like worst things about you.
How can you say that? I'm a man on the move. I'm busy. I can't sit down for an hour lunch.
I always wanted a slush puppy machine in my house.
There you go.
You guys are like living low. I want a disc. Like, I want a full-on 70s
like a nightclub?
Yeah.
I thought we were just talking about money, food-wise.
No, I
saw somebody who had a nightclub in their basement once. Like, Steve Martin in The Jerk. That's who had it. Yeah, there you go.
I want the Saturday
Night
Fever.
You guys remember Shane Black, who wrote
Iron Man 3?
Iron Man. Yeah, he also wrote the Sam Jackson, Gina Davis, Last Long Kiss.
Oh, yeah, Long Kiss Goodnight.
He lived, I think, in Hancock Park back in the day, and he had like a disco-type place in his crib, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Brett Ratner had a nightclub in his house.
Yeah, I never went to that one. I heard the stories, though.
People want theaters and stuff. Just give me the disco.
Chris Solomon from No Laying Up joining the show right now. Chris, if you had Fast and Furious residuals, what would you buy?
What did I just walk into? I have no idea what is going on right now.
Thanks for joining the show. It's what we do on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, we talk sports, real serious issues, like is a hibachi at home an investment worth making, you know?
I can't tell if I'm not cultured enough or way too cultured for this conversation. Like, I don't know if
Well, you're a golf guy. You know, you're a golf guy, and golf is an elitist sport, so I get it. This is beneath you, Chris. This is well beneath you. Congratulations on all the success with No Laying Up. When I told some of my golfing buddies that you were coming on the show today, people went nuts. It's got to be a thrill for you to have golfers around the world think of your brand with such affinity. But tell me how this whole thing started and what's the state of the brand today?
Well, I always tell people there's a 2-minute story and a 20-minute story. I'm guessing you're going to ask for the 2-minute story, which is basically some college buddies of mine and I, we started a podcast maybe about 8 years ago now that we kind of looked around. We always wanted to do a sports show of some kind, and golf was just lagging behind in terms of new media popping up. There was not really the same like blogosphere thing that had been going on in baseball and football for quite some time, and just said maybe we could do that for golf. And we started doing it as a hobby back in 2014. And by 2017, we had one by one started just quitting our daytime jobs that we were still maintaining during that time period. And as we started to get pros and guests kind of coming on the show, and the show started to grow and sponsors started reaching out, we decided to try to make it a real business and a real full-time job. And it is a dream job. Somehow I end up working way more now than I ever did when I had an office job, but I can't really complain about it, especially a week like the one we're about to have, which is, I think, the most anticipated golf tournament I've had since I've been covering golf.
Yeah, what is it about this year's Open Championship that has you so dialed in?
Well, St. Andrews usually hosts the Open Championship every 5 years, and this go around they made a gap of 6 years to have it be the 150th anniversary of the Open Championship, to have that come at the Old Course. And then of course COVID hit, which delayed everything a year, and now it's been 7 years since we've gone back to St. Andrews, which is just longer than it usually is. It's you know, the major championships do a really good, like the U.S. Open and Pebble Beach usually don't go too long without going back there. Pinehurst, they don't go too long without going back there, and it just kind of helps with the affinity for casual and you know, regular viewers of golf to say, I know this hole, I know this course, I know what, you know exactly what's going on out here. And with everything that's going on in the golf world, it has been a very, very tumultuous 3, 6, 12 months in terms of a lot of guys choosing to leave the competitive golf landscape to take huge paydays to pay for a Saudi Arabian-backed exhibition series that has made me question, you know, a lot of what I'm watching on TV. What kind of competition am I actually watching on TV? what is professional golf? You're not going to have that question this week because all those guys are getting back together at the Home of Golf. In the course is in unbelievable shape. It's going to be so much fun to watch. And it just feels like a really strong convergence. Tiger Woods is playing and walking, and that's just absolutely insane when you think about what has been going on in his life over the last 18 months. And I don't know, it just seems like it's all kind of converging on this week. Next week, we go back to talking about the stuff in golf it's not been very fun to talk about. But this week, it's all about, you know, a lot of the reason why I love the game of golf traces back to St. Andrews. And we get to watch the pros take it on this week.
Chris Solomon, one of the co-founders of No Laying Up, joining the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And I'm glad you mentioned Tiger Woods having a presence out there at St. Andrews, because I thought his words yesterday were really powerful. And if I'm a young golfer, I would take those to heart. What did you make of Tiger's comments yesterday at the press conference and his thoughts on all the things happening around the LIV Tour?
It was reassuring, I guess, a little bit to hear Tiger say that. We've kind of been waiting for Tiger to really speak on this publicly. And a lot of what he said, I just found myself nodding in terms of like, yeah, you know what? Like that, a big part of like why there are as many golf fans as there are today is because of that guy and because of his competitive nature and because of like how he has chosen to go about addressing competitive golf. And to see these other guys kind of use the PGA Tour to kind of come up and then leave it and abandon it and then take their own, you know, big paydays elsewhere has just been like a little bit heartbreaking as a golf fan. Like on an individual basis, do I understand the huge temptation that comes with unbelievable financial reward to go play some golf tournaments? Of course I do. But as a golf fan, it's just kind of bummed me out to be like, to watch guys basically say like, I don't even think I need to compete in the majors anymore. Like I'll just play these big money events. And that's kind of like what my career is now. And that's, you know, I think professional golf can be a 3 or 4 out of 10 on an entertainment scale week to week. Like it's already not the most entertaining thing to watch every week. There's just so many tournaments and all that. And to kind of have even a little bit of that entertainment value diminished over the last several months has been tough as a golf fan. So it was great to just kind of get some reassurances of what motivated that guy and hearing from other players just say, look, you can't, like, you know, you can't change what I always dreamed about as a kid. It was playing in Ryder Cups. It was playing in major championships, competing in tournaments like the one that's going to happen this week. And so, yeah, it was great to hear him kind of address it head on. And, you know, I do wonder watching some of the highlights get played on Golf Channel of Tiger's comments and putting images up of Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau over it as they're saying those words, like that's got to sting a little bit for those guys. Listen, their bank accounts are not frowning at that, but it is kind of an interesting image to just like put Tiger's words, you know, underneath images of these guys that have gone and done this.
Now, well said, Chris. And it is, you know, kind of sad as a golf fan because you do want to see the next generation of golfers have that same mentality towards the game that Tiger had, which is a big reason why we all fell in love with it in the first place. I don't know if you suffer from this, where I sometimes struggle with following professional golf because I'm out playing golf. How much golf are you getting to play now that it's this, you know, No Laying Up is your job and your career?
Less and less as the years go along somehow. Pro golf, these guys made our jobs extremely busy. And pro golf is not exactly what I love the most about golf. But I think that's what makes this sport so interesting is I think when you reach a certain age, like, I have no interest in becoming a better football player than I am. I'm good with my basketball talents. I will never pick up a baseball again probably, but golf we're going to play forever. And that's just kind of what this unique link that so many people have to the game. And you know, that's why a lot of them tune in to watch mostly the major championships and these great congregations of the best players in the world. But I live in Florida. It is literally a UV index of 11 today, which I didn't even know that was possible. I thought it was a 1 to 10 scale. So summertime, professional golf is super busy, and I'm super busy with that. And once the season kind of ends and we get into the fall is when I play a little bit more golf and get back to the roots as to what I love the most about this game.
Well, you talked about how despite being a huge fan, it does kind of underwhelm as a television product. It's a 3 or 4 traditionally each week. But that's where brands like No Laying Up come in. And it's been amazing to see not only what you guys have built, but so many other content creators. We're going to have Hallie Ledbetter in studio a little bit later today. There's this whole other world of golf now, thanks to digital media and new media that, you know, is bringing fans into the game. So just talk to me sort of about the state of golf content creation and what you're seeing out there from influencers and everybody who's putting their sauce on the game.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to what I was saying about it just being a game that, you know, I just don't think it's that interesting, and I could be very wrong, to you know, I would never want to go to Australia to like go play basketball or go, you know, there's a venue aspect to golf that is so incredibly unique and interesting that there's cultures around it in different countries. And it's just like, I don't know if I ever would have gone to Tasmania if it wasn't for two great golf courses being built down there on that island. And there's a travel and aspirational aspect to all of that that I think is really being captured very strongly in YouTube content and social media and things like that, that it's just pleasant to open up an Instagram and just see pictures of golf courses around the world and videos of people playing golf courses around the world. And it just kind of helps keep alive a dream that, hey, maybe someday I'll go visit that place, or I'd love to learn more about that, or I'd love to just escape for an hour and watch this video of, you know, this weird golf course in New Zealand or something like that. It's been a true revolution, really, of that in the last 10 years, and we're fortunate to be a part of it. I honestly just wish I could be in two places at once. I'd love to be watching golf and playing golf somewhere at the same time, which is just not possible. And there just aren't enough days in the year really to get out and film and produce as much content and as I wish there was. That's the only thing I could change if I would.
No Laying Up co-founder, one of the hosts, Chris Solomon, joining the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris, I've had the privilege of being around some really interesting people who work in the game of golf. And the question I always ask them, it's rather open-ended, and I'll ask it to you. What does golf need more of?
What does it need more of? Let's just go up from the start. I think it needs to be a more engaging television product. When we're talking about the professional game, I think it's hard to watch on a week-to-week basis when there's as many commercials as there are. So from the top-down approach, it's not a necessarily delightful thing to turn on every week. And I think that can have a filter all the way down to golf needing more. Honestly, like immediate answer to that would just be like more par three courses. I need a place to go where, well, with my wife who's a beginner, or some of my neighbors that are beginners that we've talked about going out and playing golf together, that are very much beginners. They don't need a 440-yard par four. They are years away from needing to play that hole. But you know what they would probably have a lot of fun with is a 60-yard hole, a pitch shot, you know, putting, getting around the green, and getting into the hole without feeling like they're rushed or they need a tee time or they need their shirt tucked in or all that. I just think that, you know, a place like that takes so much less land. It takes so much less maintenance. And I can feel kind of a renovation or, you know, kind of a revolution in that as well, and more of these things popping up. But I really do think that that's really what the game needs, to introduce more people to it. And just to, you don't, not every round of golf needs to be 18 holes. It can be 6 holes. It can be 5. And there's some more and more places that are starting to embrace that. And I'm hopeful that over the next 10 years or so, there'll be a lot more places that you can visit that are like that.
I hope you're pulling back the curtain. I hope you're revealing what the No Laying Up brand has in the future, in the works, because a No Laying Up like headquarters or nightclub that's a par three course and is a vibe. Dude, like, I'm all in on that. Awesome. You know, but it's funny. It's like what I love about No Laying Up and what you guys have built is that there's this real understanding, appreciation, and respect for the game and the traditions we love about the game without, like you said, all the pretentious stuff. We're not trying to go to the golf course in jeans and blast the new, you know, Pusha T album. Like, that's not what's happening. But we can have some fun and we can loosen things up a little bit. So where do you lie sort of on the idea of golf getting a little zanier and crazier and louder and waste management-ifying the game, if you will?
I think there's a lot of room for that entertainment aspect you're speaking about, waste management being an example of what they just do, the entertainment aspect of professional golf extremely well. That tournament is worth watching because the atmosphere that they have on site rings through on television. The noise, the setting, that, you know, the networks actually do a great job of that event, just bringing you, giving you a sense of place, feeling like you're within those crazy crowds. I used to doubt how many people they got to that tournament until I went for the first time in person. I was like, okay, this is a festival. Like, this is the extreme end of the entertainment aspect of professional golf. But, you know, at the same time, like, there are some traditions of the game of golf that I do respect. Like, I do, I don't know. I don't really care if you have your shirt tucked in. I don't really care what you wear on the golf course. Yet at the same time, like, maintaining pace of play and you know, just kind of making sure that the person behind you is having as good of an experience on the course as what you're having, I think is something that is a challenge with the game that comes with, you know, new people coming into it and not understanding certain, you know, I hate to even say rules, because really it's just etiquette. It's just like, how, you know, does your experience affect the people around you? If you get somebody out there who's a true beginner that has no idea that they should probably pick the ball up at a certain point, you might back up the whole golf course, right? So it's a challenge that's going to that golf is going to battle forever, as far as I can tell. But there's a lot of stuff that's really silly that just doesn't need to happen in the game. But I think year by year, some of that stuff just starts to fade away. I remember people were actually talking about, like, should hoodies be on a golf course? It's like, why? Who is mad about that? Like, who could possibly care?
That was a big issue, Chris. That was a serious, serious issue. There were lots of memos and meetings. So many people were CC'd on the email.
I don't know if it actually was a serious issue. I think people are just like one person mentioned it, and everyone got up in arms about one person mentioning it. And it became a storyline for like a couple weeks, a couple years ago. But I don't know. I'm all over the place. I dress nice sometimes to go play golf and play real serious competitive golf from the back tees. And then I dress like a slob sometimes and go out and play three holes with beginners from the white tees or whatever it is. So the golf can be experienced in so many different ways. I'll never tell someone how they should experience it or enjoy it. I can just, try to give people an image of different ways that they can and should maybe want to experience it.
Hey, Sally, Chris Brockman here. Big fan of you guys and all the work that you put out, so thank you for all of that. Listening to the preview for the Open Championship yesterday, why are you so high on Will Zalatoris? We've seen what he's done in majors this year, but do you really think he can keep it up this week at St. Andrews?
It's kind of like, just keep betting on black until it hits, this kind of thing for right. me at this point. I mean, that record that he has in major championships it's still underappreciated. Like, I really would have thought he would have been at the top of the betting sheet this week based on, I mean, guys like Brooks Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen have always had outsized major championship resumes compared to their week-to-week performances on the PGA Tour. And granted, those guys have, five major championships between the two of them, but they always would get a bit of an odds boost going into the week just based off the fact that when the golf has gotten harder and more serious and more competitive and more challenging in every way, they play better golf than everyone else. And that's the hardest thing in the world to do. For Will Zalatoris, I think he's played 9 majors in his career so far. He's got something like 6 top 5 finishes and at least 3, I don't have the numbers in front of me, runner-ups in majors, including 2 already this year. He lost in a playoff at the PGA and was 1 putt away from a playoff at the U.S. Open. And you can't fake that. That's not luck. That's not a streak. That's not a hot streak. He turns into a different player when the golf gets really challenging. And until he gets down into that 15-1 range before a tournament starts, he was 30-1 still when this week started.
Right.
And look, I'm fine. I don't even want to call it a flyer. I just honestly think I feel like I can count on that guy the most to be around in that top 5 come Sunday. And yeah, that one's still just jumping off the page at me.
What do you think about scoring, too? I saw a tweet earlier today that Bryson hit it 300 yards with his 6-iron. Like, do you think it's going to be 25 under on Sunday?
I don't think it's going to be 25 under when it's as firm as it is. And they've had a great summer from all accounts in St. Andrews. When it's as firm as it is, those fairway, that ball is going to run for a very long time. You might think that might make it easier. It's going to play shorter, all that stuff. The pros do not like it when they don't know when and how their ball is going to stop. So the challenge this week is going to be hitting it. Yeah, you can hit it really far. That's not going to be the hard part. How do you make sure it doesn't stop in a bunker? And when the ball doesn't stop, it's going to look for something to settle in. And I watched balls roll down these fairways this week, and it's like glass. I mean, if it can't sit on top of a knob because of how slick the surfaces are, it's going to find a little hollow. It's going to find some low spots. So if you're not in control of where it's going, it's going to end up in a bunker or a bad spot. So, there's guys, I know Justin Thomas at one point hit a 6-iron off a tee to avoid a particular bunker, and he ended up 30 yards past the bunker he was trying to stay short of. Like, that kind of challenge is really unique to professionals. And look, is it going to play short? Are you going to be able to, with great execution, are you going to be able to pull off some outrageous shots from 370 yards away? Absolutely. There's just enough, curves in the road, if you will, that you got to navigate. This is not downhill skiing. This is slalom. Like, this is, there's moguls out there. You got to avoid them, and you can't just pin your ears back when a course is playing this firm, or else you're going to end up in some really crazy spots. And it's going to be a test of feel around the greens, lag putting and putting around bunkers, and balls are going to end up in some super weird spots this week. I can't wait. the way the old course is set up, they're going to be, if you hit one offline, it's heading towards an, you're probably heading towards another group on another hole nearby, and it's not going to stop. There's going to be guys driving balls over the green with guys still on the green, and it's just mayhem out there. It shouldn't fit as many people on it as it does, yet it's worked for this many years, and I truly cannot wait to watch it.
Solly, we appreciate you taking some time. I know how fired you are for the Open Championship to hang out with us today, and congrats on everything with no laying up. A lot of love from all the golfers on this show, that's for sure.
Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'll come back anytime you'll have me. Cheers.
Chris Solomon checking in. No laying up. Entrepreneurial. Did the podcast thing 8 years ago. If you build it, they will come. You just slowly, brick by brick, you build something really special. We're doing that here this week with TJ's greatest NBA players for each franchise. We're building it brick by brick. Slowly but surely, we've gotten through two divisions. We've got another one today. We're going to have to speed it up to get to the end, but we got another one today. We should get to that next. What do you say?
Stay ready so you don't got to get ready.
That's it. TJ's Team Goats coming up next. And we got D.D. Richards, another young goat in the making, coming up in about 20 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben Lyons in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back, everyone, to The Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons in for Rich all week long. Just a week this summer I've been looking forward to. Get a chance to spend some time with Mike Del Tufo because he never invites me out to the boat.
You're all invited. I'm going out probably tomorrow.
That doesn't sound like a strong invite.
Hold on.
What is a strong invite?
I'm going out tomorrow on the boat tomorrow. Would you like to come?
Also, you need to do it off air because anything on air is just like the on air thing. Oh, hey, we'll have lunch.
Come out to the coast. We'll have a few drinks.
Like, it has to be off air.
The problem is, I do it spontaneously. The boat doesn't get, it's not a planned event for me because it's close to my condo. So I'm like right there. I can walk.
And you just feel like going, so you go.
Like, I just go. So if I plan it, it's not fun.
Well, if you ever feel the urge to put up the bat signal, I do have a nautical side. I would love to hit the high seas.
Did you think I have a nautical side?
I do, yes. I do. You are looking at the man who in 1994 was voted as the best crew member at the Orient New York Yacht Club. So I just want to put that out there. Nobody rigs a jib like a 13-year-old Ben.
Did you pick it with the Winklevii back in the day when you were crewing?
I have been known to say I'm the third Winklevii. I'm just going to put that out there. Like a cocktail hour at a wedding or something, I might be the third
Winklevii. So you're a Long Island Sound guy.
I'm like a Billy Joel song come to life.
Things we say at cocktail parties, a callback to earlier in the week, I started watching Severance last night.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
It's intense.
I hear it's very good.
It's very good. I'm going to keep watching just because, Adam Scott's a friend of the show, and, it was Emmy nominated, and it's very interesting concept, but... Man, I got to pay attention.
I told you that's my show right now. Ask people at cocktail parties if they're watching it to make it kind of seem like I'm watching it, even if I'm not.
Right.
You guys watching Severance right now?
What an interesting concept, though. We kind of mentioned it before when Adam was here. Like, what sports memory or just entertainment memory or something would you have kind of severed so you never have to think of it again?
2004.
I'm a Knicks fan, so how much time do we have left in the show?
Well, we got about 8 minutes till a hard out on the top of the
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Reggie Miller comes to mind. Just all those nights at the Garden. The TJ just laughed over there. I said Reggie Miller, that removed from my mind.
I kind of forgot about that.
Why don't we, instead of focusing on what we need to get out of our heads,
okay, nice.
Let's focus on some of our greatest memories as basketball fans as TJ continues his week-long TJ's Goats of Every Team series.
Yeah.
So let's go down memory lane and give some flowers out to some of the greatest players of all time.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to do the Southeast Division of the National Basketball Association. I'm going to be honest with you. Every team here was pretty difficult to pick. So I'm just going to start off alphabetically. I'm going to start with the Atlanta Hawks. This one... initially, my first thought was one guy comes to mind when you think
Hawks. There's only one guy.
Yeah, Bob Pettit.
Ben, please don't chime in until I'm done. you think Dominique Wilkins when you think of the Atlanta Hawks.
Absolutely.
And also, they've had great players like Cliff Hogg and Pistol Pete play for the Hawks. Dan Rounfeld. But As I was writing this down and I was really about to say Dominique, I really had to think about this and kind of dug in the crates, and you know, Ben kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but actually my pick for the Hawk is Bob Pettit for the Atlanta Hawks.
TJ!
This was, by the way, a 12-year-old TJ can't believe that the guy who was the greatest dunker he's ever seen in his life is not the pick here. But if I'm going to be honest, Bob Pettit led the Atlanta Hawks to their only NBA championship back in 1958. 11-time All-Star, but he was a 4-time All-Star Game MVP. And I think back in those days, you know, that stuff really mattered. So, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I really wanted to go with Dominique Wilkins.
75th anniversary team.
Won the first MVP in the league, too.
Yeah, so, but if you're really going to look at the history of a team and say this guy is truly the greatest player in the franchise and you only have one championship, very similar to the Jets. I'm not sure if Joe Namath should have been the choice, but he led them to their greatest glory, and so did Bob Pettit. So,
now, does it matter that it really wasn't in Atlanta? Because didn't he play with Milwaukee and St. Louis Hawks?
Yeah, but we're still talking about
the Hawks franchise.
The franchise, right. Yeah. So
right. Bob Pettit, shout out to Bob Pettit.
I'm going with Bob Pettit.
Also had no idea the Hawks won a title. No idea.
Yeah. Nah, 1958, it was before any of our time. All right, coming up next to the Charlotte Hornets, and I just want to clarify something.
Grandmama!
We're all big basketball fans, and I said something yesterday, and I didn't realize it until after the show was over when I kind of combined the Hornets and the Pelicans, which was technically true, but when the Bobcats started, they actually adopted the timeline, the lineage, the records of the Charlotte Hornets. I didn't take that into consideration yesterday.
Oh, why did people in the comments?
No, by the way, not one person.
Nobody caught it?
Nobody caught it except for me last night. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. So that being said, I had to, you know, we mentioned briefly yesterday Muggsy Bogues and Alonzo and Larry Johnson, Grandmama. And also, shout out to Del Curry for, you know, just producing two of the greatest shooters that we have in the league. It basically came down to Alonzo Mourning, who only played 3 seasons for this team. And because of that, I went with Kemba Walker, believe it or not. Like, there's nothing spectacular, really, but Kemba is the all-time leading scorer in the franchise, 11 seasons. Kind of like the safe, easy pick. You know, they don't have a championship team.
Multiple-time All-Star.
So, you know, I went with him. I'll accept any criticism or feedback if you want to give it to me.
Cardiac Kemba, you know, I got love for Kemba, New York Zone. So, yeah, I think thank you for making that correction there to the history of the Charlotte Hornets franchise.
Yeah, for sure, because like I said, yesterday I kind of forgot that, they
did. Are we doing greatest Bobcat ever, too, or no? We're going to just leave it there.
The Bobcats were part of that.
Okafer? No?
By the way, I'll shout out Gerald Wallace was kind of the dude on that.
Yeah, Gerald Wallace and Steven Jackson on We NBA Jam couldn't be stopped.
A Mecca, like you said. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to go with Cardiac Kemba.
By the way, my neighbor in the Upper West Side, shouts out to Emeka Okafor.
Oh, that's your neighbor?
I see him walking around the neighborhood all the time. I see Jose Calderon walking his beautiful greyhound up my block all the time.
That guy would have a greyhound.
You know, I have a theory that people look like their dogs. Like, Calderon's starting to morph into this, like, amazing, beautiful Spanish greyhound.
All right, now we got the Miami Heat.
Ooh, this one was tough. Miami Heat player of
this was
all
tough.
Time.
This was tough. You know,
interesting.
They, obviously, great.
By the way, there was only one answer. Sorry, TJ.
It's all good. Obviously, great history with this team. Multiple time champions. You got to give a shout out to Shaq, who was there when they won the title. Obviously, Udonis Haslam's been there 38 years. He'll probably outlive everyone on the roster.
Has the entire state of Florida tattooed on his back.
Tim Hardaway. Again, you have Alonzo Mourning, who was in consideration. Really came down to LeBron and D-Wade just because of longevity, what he meant to the franchise, and that 06 series where he just took it to another level. It's Dwayne Wade.
Wade counting. It came down to LeBron?
Well,
LeBron, there 4 years.
It doesn't matter, Chris.
It does matter. He joined Dwayne Wade's team.
Okay, so when you give your reasoning, that's fine. The point is, LeBron,
those are the best two players in the
franchise. If LeBron James played for your franchise, then he is in consideration for the greatest player. And that's really not even
multiple
arguable.
Multiple MVPs.
I will keep this moving. Yes. Next up, we got the Orlando Magic. You know, Magic's never won a title, but they've had some great players. Shout out to Nick Anderson, Penny Hardaway, Tracy McGrady. Basically, came down to Shaq and Dwight Howard for the greatest Orlando Magic of all time. This was tough. I went with Dwight Howard, man. Just his longevity with the team. 3-time defensive player of the year. That is nothing to sneeze at. Should have been a top 25 all-NBA selection.
Top 75. He said 20. I think he said 25. Top 75.
I'm sorry, 75, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously Shaq could have been the guy here, led them to the finals, as did Dwight. Dwight's longevity kind of gave it to him there. And quickly we'll go with the Washington Wizards. Brockman said it should be Michael Jordan.
Twice at the age of 40.
Come on. We could put Jordan on the list. But, you know, you had guys like Earl the Pearl Monroe, Jeff Malone, who was one of my favorite early 80s ballers, John Wall. But then it comes down to Walt Bellamy, guys from that era. It basically came down to Wes Unseld, Elvin Hayes.
Yeah.
More or less flip a coin. Some people might say Wes Unseld, with the way he kind of didn't really have great success as a coach and GM, maybe that hurt his legacy. But I went with Wes as my greatest.
No love for Michael Adams? I like Michael Adams.
Wes is the greatest bullet of all time. Jordan is the best wizard.
I think we can all agree that Gilbert Arenas is the best wizard of all time.
Right. So it came down to Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld, and I went with Wes. So,
strong, man. Yeah. I love your respect for the legends of the game. That's important, TJ, oftentimes in these conversations.
It really is, Ben, and I'll give you guys a quick reasoning for that. Like, I go on TikTok sometimes, and you see these younger kids have these discussions, and a guy had an argument about what was the greatest basketball game a player ever had, and everything that these people were mentioning were like 2006 LeBron in game 6 had 38, and I'm like, no guys, 1980 Magic Johnson game 6 NBA Finals, do your research.
Walt Frazier game 7 against the Lakers.
Walt Frazier's game can't compare to Magic Johnson's game.
The stat line in game 7 when Willis came out of the tunnel.
Okay, that was great. But I mean, let's be serious, though. Magic may have had the greatest single game of all time. Like, think about it. A rookie starting out of position, which a guy then argued with me that Magic Johnson did not play center.
Who are you hanging around with?
No, I'm saying
TikTok.
You're listening to me? I'm saying TikTok. This was a conversation. And he goes, Magic didn't guard Moses Malone. And I'm like, you're right, because Moses Malone didn't join the Sixers until two seasons later. So he indeed did not. So don't argue with me, kid. But that's why I like to, like, you
this
know,
is what
show
happens
respect.
When I'm like, hey, TJ, let's go grab dinner. And you're like, I'm busy tonight. You're talking to TikTok kids? Come on, bro. We got Dede Richards coming up next from the New York Liberty. Very excited to catch up with Dede. It's Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Can we think about this for a second? That we are going to live in a world where Shaq is not the greatest player on any team.
It's really weird, man.
It's the same world we live in where Carmelo Anthony's number's not going to get retired. Yeah, it's tough. It's a weird world we live in. Harold Baines' number is retired.
Equal, Ben, so. To be honest
and
with you.
And Kanye may never get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I love Melo, but those two are not equal.
It's going to kill me. That's for
Ben. But just to go back on this, you're willing to consider LeBron is the greatest Heat ever for four seasons, but not Shaq in Orlando for his four seasons.
Considered. He said it comes down
to. You right now, you're sounding like the people on YouTube who go, I can't believe you didn't consider. Well, I did consider him. I said their name. They're in consideration. LeBron won two rings for them back to back. He was the
How
best
many MVPs
player
he win in Miami?
On the team. So, yeah, you have to. You have to. LeBron James plays for you for a week. He's in consideration for the greatest player that you've had. Like, let's That's be honest.
True. Like, I would like a little shout out for Thunder Dan, who had a great tan in that second act of his career. Dan Marley, the inventor of the deep three.
Okay, but Dan Marley is...
Dan Marley used to pull it from places.
Yeah, but Dan Marley thought of as a son, period.
No, I know.
So,
if Orlando Shaq and Orlando Dwight Howard faced off against each other, who wins?
Well, Shaq beats
Shaq's
anybody.
The most dominant. Yeah,
then
Shaq.
Shaq's the greatest Magic player ever.
No. We're talking about the body of work. This is where these GOAT conversations get blurry. Are we talking about eyeball tests for space aliens, and you come down and you look at someone and you say, that person's the best? Because if that were the case, then, you know, Brandon Jennings would be on the list. But if you're actually looking at, you know, your resume and what you did in the NBA, he played there twice as long, I think.
He did. Orlando. He had eight seasons. Yeah,
and they both got to one finals. He won more finals games in Orlando.
Technically.
Factual.
One.
No, not even technically. That's a fact. Like,
well, technically is what actually.
But Shaq was
also
more
two-time block champion, eight-time All-Star, All-NBA, you know. Five-time All-Defense. It's tough. Do I think Dwight Howard's a better player than
Shaq?
I know. But, like, I can't, like, let my feelings run these. I have to, like, try to get some respect and be like, I have to.
You're asking your friends for help on the football ones.
You know, I used to
friends who are lifelong fans of a team who, like,
I used to hate Del Tufo getting in the middle of these arguments, but now I kind of enjoy them. Yeah, I feel like it's family time. It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I
just want you to be consistent with how you're deciding these.
But I...
Are you not paying attention when I'm giving you my reasoning?
You don't hear what you're saying.
I don't think you're paying attention. You're not listening.
Okay,
you're
going to break. Hour number three you're coming up next on the Richardson Show.
What's
the
insurance like, what is that? What do you mean I'm not listening?
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.